In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, last Sunday we spoke about the power of Christ and how we're drawn to come close to Him, to touch Him, as those crowds did to receive that healing. Because He has power over nature, He has power over the devil and his fallen angels, He has power over sickness, He has power over death. But the greatest power, we said, was His power to restore mankind to union with God and his neighbor, to make man whole. This is the great power that Christ has. But His power is only effectual if we're willing to cooperate, if we're willing to be healed, to be restored, to be made whole, to be reunited with God and our neighbor. Christ gives beautiful teaching today in the Gospel about this Good Samaritan, a teaching which can bring about healing and restoration and union for us if we're willing to be made whole. Each Sunday, in fact, Christ offers us that medicine in his teaching. Each of us is given the little pill that we could take to be healed with. But we have to decide whether or not we're going to ingest that medicine and let it do its work within us. And today is no different. St. John Chrysostom has a beautiful quote. It was in last Sunday's bulletin about problems in the church. He says, problems in the church exist primarily because of a misunderstanding of Scripture. We don't understand this teaching. It's given all the time, but we don't understand it. We don't digest it. It doesn't inform us and change us. And if that's the case in the church, how much more so in the world, which not only doesn't understand Christ's teaching, but is rejecting it? We wonder why there are so many problems. You think about the context in which the Lord gave this parable. A lawyer stood up to test him, someone who excelled in the law of Moses. And he asked this question, "Who is my neighbor?" This was a question that he posed in an effort to make the one who is the wisdom of God look foolish before men. The one whose task was to unite all that they might be made one, to divide those who were listening to him. Because there were different groups within Israel, within Judaism, that had different understandings of who their neighbors were. There were some who said, well, your neighbor is your brother or sister Jew. That's your neighbor. Others said, no, your neighbor is everyone. Everyone who you come in contact with, that's your neighbor. And this lawyer posed this question so that he could make Christ a person of division, so that he would lose some of his following, because everyone was coming after him. Everyone was following him, being drawn to him for his teaching and his healing and all of his works of power. So the lawyer poses this question to Christ. And again, it's in this context of a community that is divided. The Jews were divided from the Gentiles. They were divided from the Samaritans. They had no dealings with Samaritans. Even among themselves, there were major groups, the Pharisees, who separated themselves, observing the law strictly. The Sadducees, they only accepted the 5 books of Moses. They denied the resurrection. The Zealots, who tried to form an armed resistance against Rome. The Essenes, who withdrew in protest to the wilderness. And this emerging group, which would later be called Christians, who followed Christ. This was the context of this parable. A parable that was to teach them, if they were to accept it, how to be made one with God and with one another. Thankfully, when this parable is given today, we don't have those divisions. Thankfully, we're living in a society where everyone walks down the street hand in hand. There's no separate groups, competing ideologies. We're just living together in a utopian world. Of course, that's not the case. We just had another bitter election season. But I was told that in Georgetown, and actually Georgetown is in Sussex County, it's the only county in all of the United States that this great event happened. It's called Return Day. It's where everybody, after the election, comes, gathers together in Georgetown, and they have a symbolic burying of the hatchet, between the opposing groups. That there would be peace between the two parties. So they get together and they bury this hatchet. I wonder if they marked the spot where they buried it. I kind of think they did. Maybe even dug it up before the nightly news. This is our society. We're divided. Bitterly. And of course, our divisions are not between the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Zealots and the Essenes. Our division is primarily between the liberals and the conservatives, the left and the right. These are the two main groups, and they try to pull us to their sides. The parable today actually can help heal us if we're willing to take the teaching as medicine. You look at the parable, a man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, fell among thieves, was beaten, left half dead. Priest comes, a Levite comes, they pass by on the other side. Then the Good Samaritan comes and brings him to the inn, and he's healed and restored. The parable speaks to us about those who are unfortunate, those who suffer. And there are many people in this class today, many people who suffer. And it speaks to us in this parable about our response. The response of the priest and Levite were to pass by on the other side. It says in the gospel, the priest passed by on the other side and Levi passed by on the other side. The left side and the right side. You can imagine these two people maybe as the liberals and the conservatives. Those on the left, those on the right. Passing by. Why? Because they're on their way somewhere. They're on their way to the capital. To Washington, no, Jerusalem. And they're going to probably initiate programs that are going to help this poor man. On their way to Jerusalem, they're probably arguing, one on one side and one on the other side. They're arguing about policies and ideology. One says, we're going to help this man this way. The other side, oh, we're going to help him that way. And as we know, the pendulum swings back and forth. Society goes a little to the left, a little to the right, back and forth. And the pendulum of their argument is hitting this guy who's lying there on the ground, beating not a dead horse, but a dead man. A half-dead man. And he's not being helped. This man could illustrate for us, perhaps, the middle class in America. Middle class is just the normal guy who's doing all right. The middle class in America is shrinking. Does everyone know that? Drastically shrinking. The rich are becoming richer, the poor are becoming poorer. What we're doing doesn't seem to be working. This division doesn't seem to be working. You know, the arguments between liberals and conservatives cannot be summarized in the sermon, unless if you want it to be super long. I won't do that to you. So I'm going to generalize, and I apologize if any of my generalizations are offensive, but I don't know any other way to do it. The main argument of liberals is we want an equality of outcome. We want everyone to have the same stuff. And the great ideal of that is communism. Have all things in common. You might even say you can find that in the scriptures, in the Acts of the Apostles, when they had all things in common. It's a good vision. But to get there, you have to take from those who have and give to those who don't have. You have to take. And when we take, we're actually stealing. And when we take from those who have and give to the have-nots begin to expect it. And what's built within them but a spirit of entitlement? The way of the welfare state is not one that heals. It fails. The communism in the Acts of the Apostles was one of free will offering, of love. So the response is on the other side. And again, a generalization. Well, it's the free market, capitalism, that will be the answer. A rising tide will lift all boats. You have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and everything will be fine. An equality not of outcome, but of opportunity. But is it possible to give everyone equal opportunity without equal outcomes? And the answer is no. Think about a person who's born to millionaires. They'll have everything that they could possibly need given to them by their parents. While someone is born to parents who are not even married, they have nothing, they have no money. Who's going to have greater opportunities? Why? Because of the outcome of their parents' lives. Outcomes bring about opportunities. And many times, those on the right forget that. In both of these two sides, there are positive things. We want to have good outcomes. We want to have good opportunities. What about us in the center? And I don't mean independence. Please don't understand the Christian way as one being between the left and the right, an independent party. No. Those in the center are those who come to the person who is in need. In the parable, they're the Good Samaritan. We come to those who are in need and we help them. Because they are being robbed by the liberals and the conservatives. Those are the thieves, by the way. They're not just the priest and the Levite. They are the thieves. Why? Liberals are robbing people of incentive. Conservatives are robbing people because the rich profit in capitalism and the poor do not. The rich profit off of the backs of the poor. It's a difficult thing to say, but it's true. That is why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, because of the policies of the left and of the right. But brothers and sisters, this parable is not about economics. This parable was not given so that the priests and the Levite could go up to Jerusalem and come up with new policies. The parable was given to those divided people and to us today as a way towards unity with one another. The way that we can be united with one another is by going to each other in our needs and providing for each other, ministering to one another. Not passing by, going our own way with our own agendas. Did you know that St. Basil says, the extra shoes in your closet, the extra coat in your home, you've stolen them from the poor. The excess that we have actually belong to someone else. St. Augustine says, the excesses of the rich are the necessities of the poor. Imagine that. Think about that, just for a second. The Good Samaritan is the one who sees their identity in the other. Do we as Christians identify ourselves with the other? Or do we identify with just our family, just our friends, just those people in our political party who share the same ideology, who share even the same faith? Do we identify with people who are perhaps on the opposite side of the spectrum? Those who are most distant to us? The parable says that the man who was robbed by thieves was left half dead. He was half dead, right? He was alive in soul, but he was dead in his body. The parable doesn't say this, but if we're listening, we have ears to hear, we'll realize that those people who passed by on the other side, they were also half dead. Physically, they were alive. Spiritually, they were dead. And perhaps if you took a live body and a live soul and you put them together, you might have a whole human being. Perhaps if you took a liberal and a conservative and you took what's best from them and you put them together, you might have a balanced ideology. Perhaps if you took one who has everything and one who has nothing, you put them together, they might both have enough. I think it's true economically. I think it's true politically. And most importantly, it's true spiritually. Brothers and sisters, we need to realize our salvation is in our neighbor. And our neighbor is most especially the one in need, the one we've been passing by. The parable is given to us not to just reform society, but to reform each and every one of us. For us to come to realize who is our neighbor. The Lord ends his parable with the words, "Go and do likewise." That's what a Christian does. That small group of Jews who was following, they heard the teaching, they received the medicine, they ingested it, and they practiced it. Brothers and sisters, we have to do that too. We have to begin to practice our Christian teaching. It will unite us with God. It will unite us with one another. The priest and the Levite were on their way to Jerusalem. And they passed by this guy because he meant nothing to them. If we are on our way to the heavenly Jerusalem, we will not pass anyone by because they mean everything to us. That is the way to the heavenly Jerusalem, through our neighbor. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.